يا عزيزي ميري كريسماس.
Happy holidays. Maybe for you and for me, but unlikely for Amir Aman Kiaro, an Ethiopian freelance journalist. He was detained in November, and as we approach Christmas, there has been no update on his release. I'm Misha Anai, and this is the story. Let's get to it.
They say there's no good news.
Amir Aman Kiaro is a freelance journalist who is accredited to the Associated Press. Earlier this month, headlines started popping up about the fact that he was detained in Ethiopia under the country's state of emergency laws. Those powers are in effect because of the current war. And if you didn't know that there's a war going on in Ethiopia, thank your favorite mainstream media outlets. You know, the ones that tell you the same things over and over and over while the real news passes you by?
God damn it, not again.
Yeah, those ones. So for a long story cut short, like below the ankle short, there's a region in Ethiopia called Tigray, and the Tigrayan forces have been fighting the Ethiopian government. Here's a quick clip from DW to explain the situation.
First, let's go to Ethiopia, where the government troops have been regaining territory that was lost to Tigrayan forces based in the country's north. It is the latest chapter in a conflict that has caused enormous suffering in the Horn of Africa. The country has been fighting a civil war for more than a year now. Forces from the Tigray region have been battling government troops in a conflict that has drawn in neighboring Eritrea as well. Both sides are accused of committing atrocities and have taken and retaken territory with no ceasefire in sight. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of civilians have died and millions have lost their homes.
So as the soldiers from Tigray have been fighting, another group called the Oromo Liberation Army, best known as OLA, have also joined the fight. Now, the Tigrayan forces and OLA have both been deemed terrorist groups by the government. So Kiaro, he's reportedly been covering both sides of the conflict. He was detained on November the 28th after coming back from a reporting trip. So he's accused of serving the purposes of a terrorist group because basically, or reportedly, he went and interviewed some members of this group. And for the crimes of violating the state of emergency law and Ethiopia's anti-terrorism law, he could reportedly spend between 7 to 15 years behind bars, according to the federal police inspector, Tesfaye Olani. See, under the state of emergency that Ethiopia declared, the federal government wants to restrict media coverage. So it's against the law to share unofficial info on military-related movements, battlefront results, and battlefront situations. And it's wild that Tesfaye Olani, the federal police inspector, would have made that statement about sentencing, because if you noticed, I used the word detained. Because as of last report, Kiaro hadn't been charged with anything. But no charges are actually necessary, because under the state of emergency laws, you can also reportedly be detained until the end of state of emergency without charge. Now, AP executive editor Julie Pace called the allegations baseless. She said, quote, "Kiaro is an independent journalist who has done important work in Ethiopia on all sides of the conflict. We call on the Ethiopian government to release Kiaro immediately." So she's issuing this statement talking about immediate release, which sounds good, but you'll notice that I told you that he was detained, according to the AP, on November the 28th. This statement for immediate release that the AP put out came on December the 15th. And Pace said that the reason was because the AP had chosen to keep the case out of public eye while the news organization worked on potential diplomatic channels. Excuse me, Mrs. Pace, but That is not your place. I don't know how anybody else feels about this, but it is not the AP's place to go hush-hush mode with someone else's life and someone else's liberty while they decide to work on diplomatic channels. You're the AP. You're not the U.S. government. You're not any government. You're a news organization. How did they take it upon themselves to decide the best course of action with someone else's life? Not to mention that this is not even your employee. This is a freelancer. This is an independent contractor, a freelancer. How did you decide that you wanted to keep the situation hush-hush and out of the public eye? I don't feel that that's the place of a news organization to make that decision. That might be the place of his family. That might be his place to make that decision. But the news organization decided to make it? The news organization decided to allow this man to be detained over 2 weeks while they worked on whatever they thought was best first, which obviously didn't work out because now they're out here in public trying to get public support, or at least acting as if they're trying to get public support, calling on Ethiopia in public to release this man. It's the audacity for me. It's the temerity for me. If I wouldn't give a company the ability to make my medical decisions, what in the hell would make anybody think that I would want a company where I'm solely an independent contractor to make my decisions regarding liberty and life? For all they know, he could have known somebody who knew somebody who could have got things shaken much faster than they were able to. After all, he is the one who is there on the ground who apparently knows how to navigate and make money and make a living. They are a foreign news agency who are dependent on people like him to get stories. Now, I'm not saying that they should not have been pulling strings and doing whatever they had the ability to do, but for them to decide that this needed to be kept on the DL while they did what they wanted to do first, that does not sit well. And it also raises the question of whose best interests were they actually serving? This is up there in the realm with CNN and Cuomo. When you have a story that's close to home and you have one of the largest platforms out here and you choose to ignore and not report the story, you choose to keep silent on the matter, that raises major questions about integrity. And just think about the optics of this. Think about it if the roles were switched around. If this was an American citizen who was sitting in an Ethiopian jail somewhere and an Ethiopian news agency had came out in public and said this man had been in jail for over 2 weeks and they had decided to keep it secret, to keep it on the down low while they worked on whatever they wanted to work on his behalf, that would be an outrage. That would probably captivate the headlines, at least initially, more so than the fact that the man was locked up. But nonetheless, that's a little tangent because that part of the story just rubs me all wrong. And it's the fact that the news reports that are out here don't seem to be focused on that part of the story. But anyway, getting back to the situation. So now they've come out in public making these public pleas and calls for the Ethiopian government to release Kiaro. Or at least that's what they've done on paper. Obviously, they're not making too much noise because most of us aren't hearing anything about this case. Furthermore, now that this is out in the public, out in the open, there's also been focus on the fact that Thomas Njida and Adisu Malene were also detained or arrested with Kiaro, which is very interesting because even less information seems to be available about those individuals and even less focus on their situation. Not to mention that according to Voice of America, 4 other local journalists have been detained in recent weeks. So CPJ, which is the Committee to Protect Journalists, as of mid-December, they were calculating that Ethiopia has imprisoned 14 journalists since it declared its state of emergency. So there's all this talk that portrays Ethiopia kind of in backslide mode for journalist freedom and journalist protection, journalist rights. CPJ said, quote, Ethiopia has again become one of the worst jailers of journalists in sub-Saharan Africa. So now people, including the CPJ, are describing the media situation in Ethiopia as hostile. So for example, this is the type of thing that you're getting out of some news sources. This is from DW.
The conflict has affected everything. These people in Amhara are the ones we can see. In the neighboring Tigray region, a grave humanitarian crisis is also unfolding, but no one is allowed to go there and report on it.
So this situation seems to have caught some people outside because they're like, okay, 3 years ago when Ethiopia's prime minister, Abiy Ahmed, took office, his government freed a bunch of journalists as part of what was supposed to be like this sweeping political reform. So people were under the impression that there was like this new day in Ethiopia for journalist freedoms and journalist rights, especially given that Prime Minister Ahmed is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, which seems odd because it didn't catch them off guard, or you know, it didn't raise any red flags when they put the state of emergency rules in place in the first place. At that point, it didn't occur to people that the country seemed to be reversing course. Now, whether they really are or whether they really aren't, that's left to be seen. But they put these rules in place. The rules were violated. Or allegedly they were. It's as if when the rules went in place, that didn't generate the conversation of, okay, Ethiopia is taking a step backwards. Or maybe it did generate that conversation, but maybe that conversation was very quiet because it didn't seem to be like anybody was raising any red flags. But now that these journalists are being detained and imprisoned, people are like, oh, well, 3 years ago, the prime minister was releasing journalists. Okay, but it was also his administration that specifically enacted rules for journalists, rules that allow an indefinite detention or indefinite detainment, rules that allow property searches. That was under his watch that the rules came down. It's almost as if either no one was paying attention to those part of the rules, or based on what he did 3 years ago with journalists who were locked up under another administration, meaning letting them out has more positive impact on his legacy than negative impact. It's like that had people questioning or either a little bit comfortable that he would not enforce rules that were made under his own administration. But now here you are with 14 journalists detained to show you better than they can tell you, or at least according to CPJ. So of course, anytime you have stories like this, reports of journalists being detained for doing what journalists do, one of the first things that pops up and comes to mind is freedom of speech and freedom of the press and those type of things. Which now around the world, there seems to be this somewhat of a power struggle between journalists or content creators and the powers that be, where it seems less and less that people are free to say what the powers that be don't want them to say, or the narrative that goes against the powers that be. Just think about over here in the United States. How many times do you hear YouTubers whose videos are demonetized or taken down because they've said something about COVID or about the vaccine or about Trump or about or hot topics where the government has either invested in a narrative or a mission? So in other places, it's no different. Perhaps how it's handled is different. That struggle is occurring around the globe. Do you have the right to say anything? Most of us thought the answer was yes, but more and more we're seeing that perhaps, maybe not. And if you do technically have the freedom, you will be strongly discouraged by perhaps being detained without being charged, or by being demonetized or deplatformed. And the reason that I bring that up in this case is because throughout Africa, and particularly with regards to Ethiopia, there is growing discontent over how foreign media covers their stories. Granted, a lot of that discontent comes from governments who, like any other government anywhere else, who have an interest in having certain information not in the public and certain information that's in the public, presented in a certain way. However, it is not just governments who are growing more and more discontent with foreign media coverage in their countries. Here's an example where one YouTube channel with almost 1 million subscribers calls for foreign or Western media to be banned from Africa altogether for putting out trash content. The title of the video is "Africa Needs to Ban All Western Media Organizations Now." And before I get into it, just let me say, please listen carefully for those of us who are considered Western, because the accent is thick.
Africa should immediately ban the BBC, the CNNs, Reuters, the Al Jazeera's. Welcome to Tunachiki's Africa in the News. I'm Mekki Mushi, and this is the show where we look at how Western media covers Africa, where we counter all the propaganda, false narratives, misconceptions, racism, and in today's video, we will make a case of why Africa should ban all these Western media news organizations.
So throughout the video, he goes on to give example of media stories and how they were covered versus how he says they actually are, and that did include examples from Ethiopia. So then he goes on to explain why this is being done.
The type of narrative that we need to stop on, like on Africa. So this is how it works. All these media news organizations, BBC, Reuters, Al Jazeera, CNN, they are for profit business. They sell stories to their base, which is white people who usually love sad, negative stories on Africa, to get money, right? That's how their business model works, right? So if all of a sudden CNN, BBC would start reporting real news on Africa, what's actually going on Africa, all the development that's going on in Africa, they lose their revenue, revenue source, right? Racist white people, like how would they put it? Racist white people, they want to hear good things about like other countries, right? They want to hear disparaging news.
And those are not the sentiments of just one person on one channel with one audience that's listening. Here's a clip from an Al Jazeera video that is nearly 26 minutes long. And the title of the video is "How Do Western Media Get Africa Wrong?"
But also there is that element into it that you are rushing to create a headline because you are catering to a corporate media that is, you know, monetizing content. So you are pushing that ridiculous headlines, and it will earn you money. Mm-hmm. So this is a combination of laziness, recklessness, and rushing for headlines that will generate you money. Mm-hmm. And the result is a very terrible one.
Laziness, recklessness, and basically clickable headlines that people will tap on. I want to share just one more example.
That video also included a variety of examples, including media stories about the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines flight that show how media covered the story, how Western media covered the story, versus what the true perception of the story or the facts as they're seen by people elsewhere. Not to mention that it is not just Africans who are making this claim. Listen to this clip from November the 7th, 2021, which is during the war that we're talking about right now.
My name is Bob Schlehuber. I'm from Washington, D.C. I work for Sputnik News. Yeah, I'm in Addis Ababa for the last 4 days. It's a beautiful city with beautiful people. And the reports that most Western media are putting out are not accurate. The Western media, for many reasons, are supporting the TPLF and talking about a security situation in Addis Ababa that's not accurate. Addis Ababa right now is peaceful, with tens of thousands of people coming out to Meskel Square in support of the Ethiopian government, in support of the democratically elected and legitimate government of Ethiopia. And I've had a wonderful stay and met so many wonderful people here while I've been in Addis.
So the reason that I played those clips is because when people jump out and they talk about freedom of speech and freedom of press, as journalists, as content creators, we're facing a major issue because we're in a time where there's a major question of whether you have the freedom to publicize, especially commercially, under the banner of media, especially information that is not true, which raises the issue of who determines truth, and if there is a singular truth. Let's not forget that Chiaro is being accused of serving the purposes of a terrorist group because he interviewed members of a group that the government has deemed as terrorists. What government do you know that believes in any truth coming from a terrorist organization? What government do you know, especially in the midst of war, is interested, even if they allow it, is truly interested or supportive of having the objective view of hearing the side of a terrorist organization? In how many places would that be allowed? And given that governments around the globe are out front and without shame creating this environment between the right to speak out and the need for what's said to be true as deemed by the powers that be, as content creators, as journalists, we're going to face more and more problems and more pockets that lack sympathy for our plight, because now things are so divisive that people, instead of standing for a principle such as free speech or free press, there are caveats. When what's being said is not to the liking of one group, the other group calls for some type of action to be taken, for channels to be suspended, for content to be taken down, for people to be fired, for people to lose their sponsors, not realizing that there are trickle-down effects. One day, it becomes your turn. One day, you're on the opposite side. Now, Ethiopia, just like any other Western nation, can jump out and defend itself against criticism for action that it takes against people like Chiaro and other journalists who are detained or imprisoned or illegally searched or who have their materials confiscated, because they can simply borrow a line from the West, which has become ever so popular, that they're fighting misinformation with serious implications. So there you have it. As usual, I will not tell you what to think, but I will tell you what to think about. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to subscribe wherever you clicked into this podcast, or you can find it on all the major platforms, Anchor, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you like to get your podcasts. And if you would like to show some love and support for content like this, you will find the PayPal and Cash App details wherever you clicked into this podcast. As always, any and everything is appreciated. Until next time, peace.